going to talk about a recent awards event that happened this week in Louisville, some housing news, and the latest in the restaurant scene. That's next on Access Louisville. All right. Thanks for joining us. My name is Stephen Schmidt. I'm filling in today for David Mann. Joining me today is Allison Steins.
Hi.
Piper Hansen.
Hello.
And Michael Jones.
How you doing out there?
Before we dive into some topics, I want to say that Access Louisville is a weekly podcast from Louisville Business First. Each week, we bring you the latest news, along with plenty of sharp opinions on what's happening here in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to start today by talking about an event that happened this past week, which was our Business Women First Luncheon. Now, Allison, we had a packed house at the Kentucky International Convention Center this past Tuesday for the luncheon. What can you tell me about that?
Well, our Business Women First event is a luncheon and business expo, and there's an awards program with it. And we have a keynote speaker expo with booths from local companies and nonprofits, and we honor the Enterprising Women Award honorees. And that's a program that I manage. And this year, we honored 21 female executives from companies, including local banks, public companies, private companies, among others, and nonprofits. And I want to talk a little bit about the content for the actual program with me asking questions of some of these executives. So I asked for content related to their career and personal life. And some of the questions I asked were like, what's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome in your career? What is something not many people know about you? What's your most memorable career defining moment? And I was really moved by several of these women and their responses about finding mentors, being a mentor, finding your place in your career path, and, you know, just feeling good about yourself. And it was, I don't know, I felt very moved by all the responses. It was, I really enjoyed all of the 21 honorees this year, reading about them and writing about them. And one response that I really liked that I'm going to end with about, about these women is on a question to what advice do you have for women seeking to jumpstart their careers or attain higher leadership positions? And at the end of a longer answer, the respondent said, if your worth is not being valued, move on to someplace new. Life is too short to be unhappy and undervalued. Believe in and know your worth. And that was from Jessica Pendergrass at Heaven Hill Brands.
Really good advice to live by, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, we have a lot of these events here at Business First throughout the course of the year, but what would you say, if you had to kind of summarize what makes this stand out so much compared to some of the other luncheons and things like that, what would that be?
You know, I think besides the keynote speaker, we usually have someone that is, you know, that gives us some life lessons, and I think that has always been something I've been drawn to, and I think all of our attendees are wanting to hear that as well. And I think the Business Expo component, too, I think draws a lot of people. You know, we have several booths from local companies and nonprofits, and I think that's kind of fun to network. I mean, even me, I'm really bad at networking. I'm horrible. But I feel like going to the event, there's always so many people that are so willing to talk to you, and I really enjoy it.
It's one of our best attended mm-hmm. events,
yep.
too. I mean, we have it in the convention center, and it's just always packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was not a seat to be found when we were there, so very good. Now, you were mentioning the keynote speaker. I'm going to transition over to Piper. You wrote about the keynote speaker. What can you tell me about her?
Yeah, the keynote speaker this year was Christelle Bauer. She's a corporate wellness expert, and she talked about creating this quote-unquote imperfect happy. She talked a little bit about work-life balance and not waiting for opportunities to perfectly align themselves to make a change, kind of like what Allison was quoting from the from one of the honorees. It was a pretty short speech, but I think that Christelle, she definitely comes from a place of experience giving speeches like that. She's a TEDx speaker. She hosts a podcast where she brings on CEOs and other leaders in just the corporate world to talk about advice, and it's kind of exactly like the awards that we had. So that's kind of what she talked about. I think a lot of folks hopefully left empowered. I know that I kind of, we talked about a little bit about in the newsroom getting the message. So it was cool to hear her talk.
Very good. All right. So we're going to stay with Piper on this next topic. We're going to switch over to housing. Now, Piper, you recently wrote about the opening of a $50 million apartment complex in Clarksville, Indiana. What's the name of that project, and what can you tell our readers about it?
Yeah, so last week I went out to The Bend. It's right off Lewis and Clark Parkway, kind of tucked behind the Green Tree Mall. It's 300 apartment units on like a 15-acre lot. There's several different apartment buildings. It's kind of a complex type situation going on there. Their big thing is that the development goes up instead of out. So the buildings are three stories high. It doesn't take up a whole lot of space in Clarksville. The apartments are multifamily, so it's not studio apartments. There's one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom. And this is like the third apartment ribbon cutting I've gone to in the rain. So we're three for three. But yeah, the total investment for the development was $50 million. The development company paid the city of Clarksville about almost $1.5 million for fees in planning, zoning, sanitary sewer, all of the building department fees to get it started. And the development company is actually ahead of schedule. So they've already got, I think it was 100 and some plus leases already signed, and there's 300 units. So that seems pretty good. It's right by Green Tree Mall, so there's a Walmart and a Target and a lot of other retail places close by. Lewis and Clark Parkway is also right by Spring Street, which is how you get on the Second Street Bridge over into Louisville. So they talked a lot about the location being really awesome.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. And we're going to stick with housing, stick with Piper. And that is, so focusing on the Kentucky side of things of our bi-state audience here, there's been a lot of things regarding House Bill 388, and there's been some back and forth between Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear and the General Assembly in Frankfort regarding zoning. Can you explain a little bit? I know that's a very complex issue, but if you can explain just a little bit about kind of what's been going on recently in that front.
Yeah, so to, I guess, set the scene a little bit, I wrote in detail last month about the sort of concurrent timeline of the Louisville mayor releasing these new findings from a housing needs assessment, happens every 5 years, and his implementation of the My Louisville Home Plan, which is to bring 15,000 affordable housing units to Louisville over the next 3 years. Basically, there's a lot of different small little zoning things happening, House Bill 388 being one of them. There was a zoning section part of that really long bill that would have made changes to Louisville's elections for mayor and Metro Council, but it also would have stopped Louisville officials from enacting any residential zoning regulations for at least a year. So that ended up passing. Last week, the governor vetoed it, saying that he kind of stuck to bits and pieces of it that were related to the election part of it rather than the zoning part. But, you know, the structure of Jefferson County, the structure of Louisville, and especially the elected leaders are elected by the people who live there. And so whatever they kind of say should take precedent over what the General Assembly wants. But the earlier this week, the General Assembly overrode his veto, so it's still going to go into effect. So I'm still kind of talking with folks about, you know, what this means for Louisville, because they started a ad hoc committee to study zoning and to change the city plan. There's nothing in the bill that says that they can't do that. It's just that the recommendations to the General Assembly have to come from the mayor. So I'm sure that he'll be involved in some way now to make sure that we're complying with that. But I don't see why they can't keep researching and keep trying to fix the problem that we have and that the assessment kind of found holes in the city's plan.
Gotcha. So it seems like something like that, there's plenty of other chapters to happen and lots of future stories with a situation that's complex with that many layers. Is that safe to say?
Safe to say.
Yeah.
That's like a guarantee.
All right. Well, we're going to conclude today with some talk about highlights in the restaurant scene. A little bit of a lighter note, I suppose. So, Michael, now we were talking about this earlier because I live not too far from this place. And I go there for as a bourbon writer. Sometimes I meet people there and talk about bourbon and stuff. I know it as Jack's Lounge, but it's also this place that we're talking about is also called Equus and Jack's Lounge and the Black Rabbit.
Yeah.
So maybe provide some clarity to my rambling. But I understand that the business was recently sold. So
yeah.
Take it from there.
Well, the thing is in Louisville, we always refer to stuff as what it used to be.
Very true.
So, so Dean Corbett, who was like just a legendary Louisville chef, in 1985, he bought the restaurant Equus. And it was a fine dining restaurant. And in 2000, he added a lounge next door that he called Jack's Lounge. He named after his father. And in 2010, Corbett combined them sort of like into one thing, but they still had separate names. So then in 2018, Jarrett Fox Matthews, who is like the man of 1,000 restaurants, you know, he owns Lulu Food and Drink, Lulu on Market, the Fox Den, and Astra. But, you know, he purchased Equus and Jack's, and he turned or rebranded Jack's as the Black Rabbit. And then last year, he decided to make the whole thing the Black Rabbit. So that's why no one knows where they're going. But this week... Jared announced that he sold the restaurant, the whole thing, whatever you call it, to his longtime general manager, Sherman Lewis. And so Lewis had been managing the Black Rabbit, and he had moved over to Lulu on Market, where Decca used to be, when Jared opened that. But he had always told Jarrett that, you know, he wanted to be more than a general manager and that one day he would like to own the Black Rabbit. And so I think Jarrett's like trying to find this life, a work-life balance. And so he decided to sell it to Sherman. And Sherman... his brother Herman Lewis and a friend named Keith Kelly, they're the new owners of it, of the restaurant. And right now, I don't know if there's going to be any changes. You know, there's 20 employees, and, you know, I think it's just like a thing where Jared had a lot on his plate, a lot of successful restaurants, and
yeah.
And Sherman was his right-hand man, so he's taking one of them off his hands. So.
Yeah, when I was looking at the how many restaurants that the owner had, I was like, yeah, that's He's a busy guy for sure. So let's shift over to the Highlands. There's a couple some news coming out of there. What can you tell us about now? Dad's Coffee is closing its doors.
Yes, and this is sad because it's owned. One of the co-owners is Matt Grammer, who is the owner and CEO of Kentucky Counseling Center. And he opened it with his a wife and their and his in-laws, and the name just came from his son, who called it, you know, Dad's Coffee because it's his dad's coffee house, and his uncle is a dad too, and so. You know, they went into the old Breadworks spot on the Douglas Loop. But just the reality was that, you know, we've had all of these, like, strikes at Starbucks and Heine Brothers where baristas want to be paid more. And Dad's was, you know, trying to do the right thing and pay a living wage. But their business model just didn't support it. They weren't getting the foot traffic. And Matt said in the story that, you know, they to sustain it, they would have to have a drive-through. And you know, not only is it, you know, landlocked in that way, but he's across from 1020
yeah.
Brewery where Heine Brothers used to be. And you can still get Heine Brothers coffee. High Five Donuts recently opened in the Douglas Loop. And, you know, you can get your donuts yeah. and coffee. Mm-hmm. And so, but I would say, like, the dad's owners, they were some of the nicest people. And it's sad because they closed after less than 2 years.
Yeah. I sold mm-hmm. Girl Scout cookies for a long time on that corner right there, right across yeah. from Twig and Leaf. And the whole, like, selling point was come buy Girl Scout cookies and go get a cup of coffee, because that was before the donut place was there.
Yeah, when still Heine Brothers.
Yeah, when it was still Heine Brothers, and then when Heine Brothers closed right there, I would still go over there and go to Dad's instead. But yeah, I would. It was when I saw that come across in the email, I was like, oh my gosh, that sucks. Yeah, like most coffee places that I go to now have a drive-through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's yep. like there's a trend now where we have the Scooters coffees and Seven yeah. Brew where you can't really hang out, you know, yeah. and don't have that like kind of same neighborhood feel.
I remember when the first Scooters coffee opened up, I think, on Dixie Highway. And now it seems like they're all over the place because, yep. I mean, they're easy to build. You can literally just like set them down yeah. in the ground. And yeah, so it definitely seems like that's the biggest trend with coffee. Okay. Yeah, that is very sad news. One last thing for Michael, and that is keeping in the Highlands.
Yeah, right at the Douglas Loop, really.
Yeah, let's just stay pretty much where we are. But what's going on with the Dundee Tavern? I understand that that's maybe connected to a popular pizza chain.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. And this is an example of why business owners should reach out to actual reporter and not release their news on social media because Missy Webb, the owner of Dundee Tavern, what she's doing is she's changing the concept to a Derby City pizza. But first she had put it out on Facebook. And then there's a lot of backlash against Derby City because everybody thought like this chain was coming in and just closing, you know, this a decades old business that everyone loves. But it turns out that Missy Webb and Larry Davis, the owner of Derby City Pizza, have known each other since they were teenagers. They made pizzas together when they were 15. And so she bought Dundee a year ago, and her sales just have not held up. She said that, you know, from April 2023 to now, it's down $40,000. And that's affecting her. Bottom line, it's affecting her staff and what they're taking home. And so she reached out to Larry, and he wanted a Highlands location. And so no money exchanged hands in the deal. She's still going to own the building. She's still going to be a part owner. But Larry's going to come in and infuse some cash and redevelop the building. You know, the kitchen was small. It didn't have AC. And all that. But it seems like most of the backlash was about the dip, which I need to go to the Dundee Tavern and try this Dundee dip. And so she's trying to work it out so that the dip can, some of the items that fans love will stay at Dundee, but it's still going to do live music, still karaoke. But the menu for the tavern was just too large. And her food costs were getting out of hand.
For those curious, what's in the Dundee dip?
You know, I don't know. We're going to have to look it up.
I've had That's it right. before, another,
but
another
I'm
time.
Not. But she wasn't. She mentioned it to me in my interview.
Yeah.
And then when I posted my story, there were like several comments of like, "Are they still going to have the dip?" And I was like,
yeah.
You know,
right.
And I meant like. When places like this close have been around for a while or change, you know, everybody gets all outraged and things. But, like, you haven't been frequenting it. It's like, when's the last time you were there? You know, I love the Dundee Tavern, but I haven't lived in the Highlands in 14 years. It's, like, not on my route anymore. So, you know, so if it had... You know, more patrons actually going there and supporting them on a regular basis.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, save the dip.
Support your local businesses.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that's the time we have for this week. Before we sign off, let's go around the room as we usually do and share where the audience can find all of us on social media. We'll start with you, Allison.
You can find me on LinkedIn at my name, Allison Steins, or on X at BF Lou Allison.
Very good. And Michael?
You can find me on X at BF Lou Michael and on LinkedIn under my name, Michael Jones.
Okay. And Piper?
I'm mainly on X, formerly known as Twitter, under Piper J. Hansen. I said before on here that I mainly talk about the Arizona Coyotes, and that is still true despite the move. So just letting people know because
they're last. Yeah, not to go off on a tangent, but those who know me know that I'm a sports guy as well. And yeah, I saw that they had like a big team photo on the ice yesterday. So that was a bittersweet time. Although I think that the Phoenix market is too big for the NHL to ignore. I think once they get everything figured out, we'll see another team in Phoenix, but until then, it's
shortly
off to Utah. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I did talk about that on here and with a couple of sources who did reach out and say, hey, what's going on? And I was like, let me tell you all about it. So that's where I'm at.
Very good. And I can be found at, let me think for a minute, at BF Lou Steve on X and on LinkedIn at /SP Schmidt. So, okay, well, if you like what you hear, please consider subscribing to Access Louisville through popular podcast services such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Radio Public. Lastly, we want to say that we're still looking for a sponsor of this podcast, so if you know someone who's interested in such a venture, please reach out to either David Mann or our advertising director, Doug James. Thank you, Allison, Michael, and Piper, and thank you for all for listening at home or wherever you might be listening to this. Until next time.